Hello and welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's November 25th. I'm Joan Partis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown is the engineer and producer, and we've got a great show. We're going to learn more about that online KTOO auction. We're going to learn more about Big Brothers Big Sisters. We'll get a preview of tomorrow's Native American Heritage Month lecture with guest David Kitsik. Chef Steph's here, Connor O'Day from the Bridge Adult Daycare Center, that, Writer's Almanac, Bird Nut, music, and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In Canada, an emergency has been declared in a remote reserve in Ontario as Dan Karpinchuk reports a fire forced partial evacuations.
The First Nations community of Attawapiskat is no stranger to emergencies, but this one could have turned into a disaster, according to the Member of Parliament for the region. A candle lit during a power outage may be the cause of the fire. Families have been staying in the trailers because of problems with the sewage system. Charlie Angus is the MP for the region in Northern Ontario. He says it's lucky that no one was killed or injured in the fire that broke out in a set of interconnected construction trailers that were used as a makeshift housing complex.
Nobody should be going back in those trailers. They're not livable. They're not. They would be condemned anywhere else in the country. So part of me is wants them fixed so we can get people back in their community, but part of me saying there's no way these people should be sent back.
The 70 evacuees were flown nearly 250 miles south to the city of Kapuskasing. Meanwhile, the complex was badly damaged but not completely gutted by the fire. The trailers have been used as stopgap housing since the community's sewage infrastructure broke down nearly 4 years ago. Angus says, unfortunately, that short-term fix has become permanent. The band says replacement housing could be set up within a month and a half. Attawapiskat made headlines after a housing crisis in 2011 triggered a state of emergency. Its chief, Teresa Spence, staged a six-week hunger strike to protest against living conditions on reserves, and that sparked nationwide demonstrations. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
A construction project in McGrath, Alaska last year uncovered three ancient skeletons. As KUAC's Emily Schwing reports, scientists have been analyzing the remains.
It's been a year since Tanana Chiefs Conference senior archaeologist Bob Sattler announced the remains of three people discovered in McGrath in 2012 are between 800 and 1,000 years old.
We have an opportunity for the first time, I think, in Alaska to look at three generations of the biological, evidence or signatures in those individuals to determine their migration patterns, their diet, and so forth.
The remains known as the Tauchuk-McGrath discovery are those of two adult men and a child. Jeff Hayes is a population geneticist at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine in Chicago. Hayes' analysis shows the two older men share a patriline, meaning the genetic information they would have inherited from their father is the same.
But we don't know how closely related they are. They could just as easily, based off the data that we have so far, be distantly related cousins as they are father, son, or uncle, nephew.
Hayes is working with TCC as well as the tribal government in McGrath to find living relatives. He may also be able to look at linkages between ancient and modern health and disease.
So, for example, we have a really good idea of the particular genetic markers that are associated with, say, obesity or type 2 diabetes.
When the studies are complete, the remains will be returned for a traditional reburial ceremony. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Emily Schwing.
A federal judge in Oklahoma City is siding with the Comanche Nation in a dispute with the governor's office over a tobacco compact. KGOU's Kirk Gortney reports.
U.S. District Judge Robin Cothran issued a temporary restraining order allowing the Comanche Nation to enjoy the same tobacco compact the state of Oklahoma has with the Chickasaw Nation. Under that deal, the $1.03 state tax rate per pack of cigarettes is distributed with 70% of the revenue to the tribe and 30% to the state. The Comanche Nation and Governor Mary Fallon's office are disputing whether the tribe is entitled to a new tobacco compact. The Kaw Nation received a higher rate on its rebate in exchange for making its casinos non-smoking. The governor's top lawyer says as of last week, Fallon has signed agreements with 23 of Oklahoma's 38 federally recognized tribes. Some tribal governments have chosen not to have a compact right now, are in arbitration, or basically already have an agreement. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Courtney in Oklahoma City.
In November 1952, Charles George saved the lives of his fellow Army soldiers by jumping on a grenade during the Korean War. The Cherokee man was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. I'm Joan Pardis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. He's at the board. And as far as the weather today, rest of today is snow and rain. New snow accumulation to 2 inches, highs around 37, southeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, it actually says not as cool. It's not going to be as cool. It's going to be rain. Temperatures remaining around 37. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Chance of rain. Tuesday night, rain likely. Wednesday and Thursday, rain likely. Friday, snow likely. So if we could just get through to the weekend, it'll snow. But, you know, I was up at Eagle Crest this morning. I did some snowshoeing, and it was dumping up there.
Really?
There is a lot of snow.
That's good.
So that really came from Christy Chambord, who is K2's development director. And I've been out of town for a bit, and there is a hot auction going on. Christy, what's going on?
There is. This is our annual holiday auction happening now through December 5th. And this year we're doing it a little bit differently. Typically, you'd be able to call in and fight with your neighbor over the phone for the items you want. But we even the playing field this year. So now you can bid online.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you could just go online, and there's tons of stuff till December 5th. And then
the
best bid wins on December 5th.
Exactly. On December 5th, we'll close it out at high noon, and then all the winning bidders will be notified immediately by email, and we'll get the process going, and then they can come down starting on the 6th.
Okay, great. What kind of stuff do you have?
Ooh, we've got lots of good stuff. We've got homemade goodies from some local businesses. We've got some trips on there, some lovely hotel stays. We have Alaska Airlines tickets.
Oh.
Two unrestricted tickets on there. We've got passes to Eagle Crest, so if you haven't gotten yours yet, you're not out of luck.
Cool.
And then, we've got tons of gift certificates, which make great gifts and stocking stuffers.
And gifts for yourself.
And gifts
for yourself.
It's such
a stressful time of year.
I know. Like, be good to me. Be good to me. And then the cool thing we were able to do with the online is we have an item of the day. So we have one item every day that you can only get today. And since it is a holiday week, we are celebrating the pie. So we have a hot out-of-the-oven rhubarb pie that will be delivered here at 4 o'clock to the winning bidder. And so you can jump online right now at ktoo.org. You'll see a little banner on the side that says Bid Online. Click on that. Takes you right to our catalog, and then you'll see item of the day. Click right there and start bidding.
Wow. So if you're saying, I'd like to bring some hot pie home on
my way. You can do that.
You can swing by the station, get
exactly.
your pie, and be on your merry way.
Exactly.
It's slick out there, so don't be speeding to get to that pie.
Yes. Drive slow, pick up your pie, make somebody happy at home.
So there's going to be a pie a day this
week? There's going to be a pie today. There will be a pie tomorrow, and there may be another pie right before Thanksgiving.
Wow.
I don't want to give it all away.
So
yet.
When does the item of the day reveal itself?
It reveals itself during Morning Edition.
Oh,
there
cool.
is a recorded spot. You'll hear this voice you're hearing right now telling you what it is. And then we also go on KXLL and talk about it a little bit, KRNN, and then right here on a Juno afternoon.
Oh, come on, Christy. It's not really a recorded voice. You actually show up everywhere, right?
Right.
Isn't that just
all
you?
Over.
You know, like at 5 a.m.
I never leave the studio.
We're giving away the secrets of how KTOO runs, but if you really want to know, just become a volunteer and we'll tell you everything. We'll, like, I'm a volunteer, like, I'm the only one who's not on the payroll in this room. We've got Jeff and Christy. So they'll tell you how it works, and I'll nod my head because that's basically what we do around here. Christy, that sounds so great. So I assume everything's at ktoo.org.
Yeah, and you'll see a little auction banner on the side. Just click there, and then basically all the information they're going to ask you for on the website is everything you would have told a phone operator anyway, so there's nothing to be scared of. It works very much like eBay. You can sign up for notifications if you've, you know, to find out if you've been outbid so you can keep bidding.
And it's also mobile friendly, so you can do it from your smartphone if you so wished.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
So do you have something that you're keeping your eye on?
I do. And actually, it's funny. I just jumped on before I came on to see what's going on, like what the hot item is. And Colin Dukes of Dukes Designs made a U-bench. It's absolutely gorgeous, and there is a hot bidding war for it right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we don't know who it is. We just know what's going on.
Wow, and that will go right down to December 5th.
It will go down to December 5th. Right now, they're neck and neck. It's actually a tied bid, so
wow.
We're waiting to see who breaks first.
Right, but it won't close.
It will not close.
So
you've got until December 5th.
If you want to go check it out, you know, when people are interested in things, sometimes other people get interested in things.
Yes.
Things get a little messy, but no, it's not like you're at a function where you have to elbow your person out of your way.
No, and like
circle.
Yeah, kind of stalk a little bit.
And oh, they had a really bad week. I'll let them have it.
Yeah.
No, not really. I'll send my kid.
Exactly.
All right, well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Joan. Have a good afternoon.
Great. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with Chef Steph.
Hey, well, all right, sir, here we go there. What are they going to give for? I have a $600 down here, now $10, now $25, now $35, now $50, now $60. Will they give me $60, now $75, $75, another $85 on the bottom there? There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma, and she told him he should go to school. He'd sneak away in the afternoon, take a little walk, and pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn. He'd stand and listen carefully, then pretty soon he began to see how the auctioneer could talk so rapidly. He said, oh my, it's do or die, I've got to learn that auction cry, gotta make my mark and be an auctioneer. $25 bid, now $30, $30, will they give me $30, make it $30, bid upon my $30, will they give me $30, who'd admit a $30 bid? $30 bid, now $35, will they give me $35, to make it $35, to bid a $35, who would have bid it at a $35 bid? As time went on, he did his best, and all could see he didn't jest. He practiced calling bids both night and day. His pap would find him behind the barn just working up an awful storm as he tried to imitate the auctioneer. Then his pap said, son, we just can't stand to have a mediocre man selling things at auction using our good name. I'll send you off to auction school, then you'll be nobody's fool. You can take your place among the best.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon. It is 3:12. You're listening to KTOO News. I'm Joan Pardis. Jeff Brown's the producer and engineer of the show. And I'm telling you, it's like a party here. You go out of town, and it's a party at Juno Afternoon. We were just talking about auctions. Now, Chef Steph, Stephanie Martin, is here. And she's here to talk about what's happening at the public market as far as her sweets. She just came in with a bucket of great stuff, like, oh, peppermint bark and all these yummies. We've got butterscotch toffee, and it's just amazing. It's like an early Christmas.
No, it's Hanukkah, because it's that early.
It's Thanksgiving and Hanukkah.
Yeah, Wednesday night, first night.
I know.
Isn't
they're calling
it
like Thanks-Hanukkah, Thanksgivica, or something like that. It's crazy. So you must be like baking up a storm.
I am. Thank you for getting me out of the kitchen by inviting me on your show this afternoon. Yes, I'm pretty much finishing up, and I'm super excited. There's lots of new things this year. Every year I try to bring something new so nobody gets bored from the shortbreads.
Oh, my gosh. How can you get bored? Look at this stuff. So you're going to be at the public market, right?
I am.
And that's Friday through Sunday.
Yes, Friday from noon till 8. Saturday and Sunday, 10 till 5.
Okay. And you're going to have a variety of all different types of treats.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So all the regular things, the shortbread, the toffee, granola bars, the peppermint, the chocolate peppermint cookies. The packaging this year has changed. So the shortbread used to come in big squares and circles, but now they're in these perfect little bite-size canisters, so that there's 8 cookies in there, and it's perfect because I have 4 flavors now, and this way everyone can mix and match, and they're great stocking stuffers or Hanukkah gifts because for each night I have my dreidel cookies like usual, especially because it's happening so early. And
I know.
And in the box there's 5 cookies, 4 dreidels with all the symbols, and a menorah this year. And it comes with dreidel and gelt,
so
you can play and eat, and it's
an all-in-one.
It is an all-in-one. It's just it's the perfect gift.
It really is.
Like the perfect first night or second night or whenever night.
There's eight of them. So anyway, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to the audience about the packaging. It's really sweet. It's like a tower of sweets. It's like a very classy tower of sweets with little ribbon and nice packaging and the peppermint bark, which, you know, I don't know. Jeff and I are going to have to fight over who takes home what, because, or maybe we could split them, or like,
you know,
we could have half
a
cookie. There
you
go.
And when you're done, when you're off the air and you don't have to talk into the mic, so you don't get crumbs on the mic.
No, we don't want to do that.
You're not supposed to eat by the board, but
you're not supposed to eat on the board. I mean,
yeah,
you're supposed to be, you know, understandable most of the time. So
I know I made it difficult. I'm sorry,
but this is really yummy.
Well,
so
let me
talk to you about your creative process. It just seems that you're constantly finding new things that kind of make you want to go, oh, I'm going to do this now and I'm going to do that. It seems like it's always changing.
It is always changing. It's fun. Packaging has been my new obsession, and the bags were good, but they weren't perfect, and I wanted something that looked better, that was sturdier, easier for shipping. And I started a website. Ah!
You did?
So,
it's
I'm hoping to go live very soon.
Okay.
But we're this close.
All right.
Super close.
This close is about an eighth of an inch.
Right. So it could either take 2 days or 2 months. You
but
know,
we,
so that
we could just
thing.
Search Chef but. Steph Juno.
It'll be chefsteps.com.
Okay.
But as I said, not yet. So, but you could keep trying, I guess.
Okay.
But I'll make an announcement. I'll do a little Facebook
post.
Or
come
well,
back.
Thank you.
Do you have a Chef Steph page?
I do.
Page?
I do.
Oh, cool. I'm going to have to.
I do. But I think we are friends.
Like, we could be. Sorry. I've been unplugged for a couple of weeks.
No,
so
no,
I hate
fine.
To be like, oh, I don't know if you're my friend or not. But I think you actually are. But let's talk more about your sweets. So you are expanding, but you are keeping your traditional Chef Steph stuff.
Oh, yes.
Sell.
No, no. My husband complains. Things are always added. Nothing is taken away. I'm up to two tables now at the public market. I've changed from the small lobby. I've moved to the main lobby.
Oh, wow.
So I'm in between the double doors to get into Centennial Hall. So
I've been out of town for public market for years, and this is the first time I'm going to be here. So I will come by.
Excellent.
And
please do.
Say
we
hi.
Sample everything. So come by for a little snack.
All
you know,
right.
It's tough walking around. There's so much to see and talk to people, and I love public market. I loved it before I had a booth, because it's that Juno thing.
It's
and
Juno.
You go
it's
to Centennial Hall.
Juno at its best.
It is, and you get to see everybody. And
shopping, chatting,
yes.
Seeing people you haven't seen in a long time.
Yes, and there's food. You know, you're eating and shopping and talking, and I'm good.
All right, one last question, because we've got a lot of guests today. Mm-hmm. But Chef Steph, she's going to be at the public market this weekend with an assortment of fantastic stuff. How much stuff did you make? Like, do you have, like, I made X amount of cookies? Do you even do that, or would that make you mad?
No. I there is a master list, and I always want to, I recycle the butter, so I keep the butter containers, and then I dump them out at recycling. There's a lot of butter.
I bet.
Good. Butter in lots of forms. And I know that people are waiting, and there's really a huge party outside that I have to get back to. But there's a new toffee flavor that I wanted to leak. I was keeping it a secret, and then I blabbed it. But it's butterscotch toffee.
That's it.
And it tastes it's just like the almond toffee, but actually it's not, because it doesn't have nuts in it. I've met so many people who can't have nuts. So, and my family loves butterscotch, so it was a nice way to incorporate that. And it really is so delicious. I feel bad for the almond toffee, because it's getting set to the side.
It's all right. No one will know. You know, there'll be enough. No one will tell the almond toffee that it's been replaced in Chef Steph's heart. But there should be plenty for everything. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, and save a little bit of extra room for dessert, and come out and come to public market. It's really a fabulous, fabulous weekend.
Save a lot of room. This stuff looks great. All right. We'll be back in a minute.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. I am Joan Partis. I'm your Monday host. Jeff Brown's the producer and engineer of the show. He's at the board. It is 3:21, and it is slick out there. Ice and snow and snow and ice. Our two guests here are nodding their heads. We have Torin Ulrichsen and Gretchen Durking from Big Brothers Big Sisters. Hello, ladies. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So let's talk just a little bit. I think most people know what Big Brothers Big Sisters is, but can you tell us a little bit about the program and what we do, what you do in Juno?
Yes, yeah. So, and Juno, we have four programs. Most people know about our community program. It's a mentoring-based program, so it's one-to-one mentoring where we pair adults in the community up with children in the community who are looking for extra support and extra support along their educational goals.
Sounds great. Extra attention.
Yep.
Yeah. Special friends. And then there's the in-school program, right?
Correct, yeah.
Gretchen?
Yeah, and the in-school program, that's where Bigs will come to the school, and it's just an on-site program. So kids will see their Bigs during lunchtime or maybe reading class, and it just gives them some extra support in the schools.
And that's like a once-a-week gig?
Once a week, yeah, for about an hour, depending on, you know, what teachers want or how long their lunchtime is. Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right, and so that's a simple way, once a week at the school, same time every week.
Right, it's really good for people that may be really busy and can't have too much of a flexible schedule, so they schedule, you know, every week, same day, same time.
Right.
Yeah.
And for full disclosure, I have a little sister who through the program, and we meet once a week. In fact, today was our day, and it was great to see her because I've been out of town, so it was really, really fun. We had a great day. So tell me about you. Before we went on air, Torin and I were talking a little bit about these two other programs. So you want to talk about these programs that maybe other people are not as familiar with?
Yeah, so the two programs that I think get the least attention and the least volunteers that we serve are the SYNC program, which is where we pair 16 to 21-year-olds who are transitioning out of foster care. So those are kids who were in the foster care system and were not able to get put back with their families or were not adopted. So they are actually transitioning out, and they're going to be on their own as soon as they turn 18. So we really like to try to match those kids up so they can get that extra support and guidance. A lot of these kids are now looking for jobs and apartments and are going to college. And the example I always give is how many times when you were in college did you call your parent when you had a flat tire or when you had a question about baking cookies or something, and you had someone to turn to and ask a question, and these kids don't have anyone to turn to and don't have anyone to help them with resumes or looking for jobs or just any of that kind of grown-up stuff. So we like to pair up these young adults, actually they're not kids, these young adults with mentors in the community can help them on their next step to adulthood.
Right, and how old do you have to be one of those mentors?
Since the kids we serve are 16 to 21, we are looking for someone who's a little bit older. So I would probably comfortably say the youngest, if they're in their mid-20s, but very mature and gone, could be mature and give good examples, and I think that would be fine. We have Bigs all the way up to, I believe, 82. So any age range, really, we can find someone for you.
Right. And that reality 101, that first step out from wherever you've been, whatever the circumstances are, it's so hard. There's so many questions, you're in your late teens, early 20s, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm finally here. Okay, where's the manual? What do you do? What's the next step?
Yeah.
That sounds like a great program. That's the first time I heard about it. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and we actually have some younger males waiting in this program, so we're really needing Big Brothers who can be those mentors for that age group.
Okay. And then you were saying there was another program as well.
Yes, there's the Johnson Youth Center program, which Gretchen's actually the director of, and she can talk about that one.
Yeah, so Johnson Youth Center, we also need a lot of Big Brothers for. So if you guys haven't heard of the Johnson Youth Center, it's a detention and treatment center in town, and it's a 30-bed facility, and they have, I think, about 8 beds for temporary detention and then 22 beds for long-term treatment. And so these kids are there for about an average of 12 to 18 months. And some of these kids are from different towns, so they don't get any visitors for the whole time they're at the facility. So we really need some Big Brothers to go and visit them. And it's kind of the same setup as the school in the sense that you go there just once a week for an hour and just at the facility meet and talk with the youth. And these are older youth, so 14 to 21, I believe, is kind of the age range. But, yeah, it's just a great opportunity to have another mentor there to kind of help give you good ideas for decision-making and support once you are released from the facility. And it actually, ideally, you can transition into, once they are released, you can kind of be there for them in the community as well.
Wow,
do activities
sounds,
out there.
That
yeah.
sounds great. What kind of support does Big Brothers Big Sisters give to their mentors?
Yeah, so we offer a lot of free activities to matches because we know sometimes on a rainy, cold, you know, day, it's hard to think of what to do.
That never happens.
Never. It's always sunny and beautiful. So we have, at least once a month, we have one activity where matches can come and do something completely free, and we plan it. All you have to do is show up. We also call matches once a month to check in to see how it's going, offer support, give activity ideas over the phone, and also just help through those little bumps in the road because, like all friendships, every once in a while, there sometimes can be little bumps. So we like to just smooth those out and make sure that everything goes well and really focus on long-term matches. And actually, the Juno office is above all of our goals for average match length nationwide. So we really have such a strong program here in Juno where we really support the bigs and littles to be long-term successful matches.
That sounds great. And so if one of the bigs, which is one of the Big Brothers Big Sisters, need some advice, they could call you and say, you know, hey, you know, we didn't really talk, I don't really know what to do, and you guys have a bunch of tricks up your sleeves or something along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely. Our average big actually doesn't have any experience with kids or any experience volunteering with youth, and so we take those newbies and we like to give them a lot of support and really help them out because it can be a challenge when you know, if you're with a younger person or with a teenager and finding those common things to talk about. So we like to give people a good head start.
That sounds great. So what's the contact info if somebody's listening and saying, okay, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it now?
Yeah, so you can always Google just Big Brothers Big Sisters of Alaska, and our number will pop up. But if you can remember it, it's 586-3350.
Okay.
And if there's anyone out there that wants or is interested to just kind of come to an orientation, we have an orientation this Wednesday. I don't know. I need to look at her and make sure I can just say that, but at 6 o'clock.
And I actually believe it's tomorrow, which is Tuesday.
Oh, sorry, did I say today?
And it's at the Valley Library at 6
yeah.
o'clock.
Yeah. Okay, great. So people could come. They could be anonymous. They could just sit back and listen and see if it's right. So that's
yeah.
right for them. So it's 6 o'clock, and that's at the Valley Library tomorrow, Tuesday, November
yes.
26th.
And we have twice of those a month, so you can always just call us, and we can give you the date and time of the next one if tomorrow doesn't work out for people.
Okay. Yeah. And then as far as the financial part of it, you have lots of free passes and
yep.
so on and so
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, the Juno is such a supportive community. We have tram passes and we have passes to like the museum and all sorts of places around town where matches let the little go for free if the big buys a ticket or just for free in general. I know the Jack always gives us passes to their great performances that come in town. So, yeah, we have all sorts of fun, free things for matches to do.
Including Eagle Crest, which is fun.
Yep, Eagle Crest.
If you're
yeah.
a skier, and mm-hmm. you could take your little for free.
Yeah, it's that mm-hmm. time of year. Littles go for free, and they also get discounted rentals and discounted lessons. So really, there's no excuse not to take your little up there and teach him a great skill.
That sounds great. All right. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 25th of November, 2013. It's the birthday of Andrew Carnegie, born in Dunfermline, Scotland, 1835. Grew up poor, worked as a mill hand, came to this country when he was 13, went into the steel business, helped to build the American steel industry, and became one of the richest entrepreneurs of his time. Andrew Carnegie was afraid that the pursuit of wealth would degrade him. So he sold his steel business and gave his fortune away. He endowed 2,811 libraries. He established the Carnegie Endowment, and he bought more than 7,000 organs for churches to, in his words, lessen the pain of the sermons. It's the birthday of Helen Hooven Santmeyer, Cincinnati, 1895, grew up in a little town of Xenia, Ohio, went off to New York. She was a secretary for Scribner's Magazine. then moved back to Xenia. She wrote an epic novel about a small-town women's group based on her own women's club of Xenia, Ohio. The book was called And Ladies of the Club. It came out when she was 87 years old, Helen Hooven Santmeyer. It was more than 1,300 pages long, and it went straight to number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And it's the birthday of the physician and essayist Lewis Thomas, born Flushing, New York, 1913. Went to Princeton to study biology and also poetry. He loved the poetry of Ezra Pound and T.S. Eliot. Had a big career, became president of the Sloan Kettering Institute, and also started writing informal essays. He wrote them late at night, without an outline, wrote quickly, including no reference notes at the end, writing about the human body, but also philosophy. In 1974, 29 of the essays were collected in The Lives of a Cell, which won the National Book Award. Lewis Thomas, the physician who said, "The great secret of doctors, known only to their wives, but still hidden from the public, is that most things get better by themselves. Most things, in fact, are better in the morning." Here's a poem for today by Joyce Sutphen, "What the Heart Cannot Forget." Everything remembers something, the rock, its fiery bed, cooling and fissuring into cracked pieces, the rub of watery fingers along its edge. The cloud remembers being elephant, camel, giraffe, remembers being a veil over the face of the sun, gathering itself together for the fall. The turtle remembers the sea sliding over and under its belly, remembers legs like wings escaping down the sand under the beaks of savage birds. The tree remembers the story of each ring, the years of drought, the floods, the way things came walking slowly towards it long ago. And the skin remembers its scars, and the bone aches where it was broken. The feet remember the dance, and the arms remember lifting up the child. The heart remembers everything it loved and gave away, everything it lost and found again, and everyone it loved, the heart cannot forget. What the Heart Cannot Forget, a poem by Joyce Sutphen, from Coming Back to the Body, published by Holy Cow Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity. Lumosity.com's daily online workouts are designed to improve memory and attention, and are dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Juno.
Ketchikan. We come from different places.
Sitka.
Haines.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we can make a real difference in the building blocks of life.
Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities.
Real change won't happen without you.
Help make a difference in your community by supporting United Way of Southeast Alaska. Learn more at UnitedWaySeak.org.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. I'm Joan Pardis. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. He's at the board. It is 3:35 p.m. It is raining and snowing, and it is slick out there. But here in the studio, we're nice and toasty, and we're going to be talking about Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is sponsoring a lecture series in honor of Native American Heritage Month. This year, all the lectures will focus on the theme spirituality. Tomorrow at noon at the Sea Alaska Heritage Building, David Kitsik, a Tlingit clan leader, is going to be talking about the essence of Tlingit spirituality, and he's here with us right now. Hi, David. How are you?
Fine.
Good. So, let's talk a little bit about tomorrow. What will you be covering?
Chushugu, Before I say anything, I just wanted to welcome everybody and thank everyone in our language with respect to taking this moment just to hear the words that I'm going to speak about tomorrow, where I learned some of these things. I learned it from my grandfather, James Slanot. I learned it from my grandmother, Mary White Planot Casco. I learned it also from my great-grandmother, from Anne White, and her husband, Yukis Kukake, who was Archie White. And then I also learned it from my grandfather, Dan Kasich, and I learned it from my father, George Kasich, and I learned it from my mother, Anna Kasich. And then I forgot my grandmother's name, which I apologize to the Kanakpedi people about. Her name was Heatley, and she was very, 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 very instrumental in my life, very encouraging. And so the words that I will be speaking tomorrow will be words that I heard from these individuals, specifically as grandparents. And the essence of Tlingit spirituality covers a broad scope, and it could never be covered in one particular session. But it will be covered in a way that I hope it'll give a broader understanding with respect to what our people believed in prior to the coming of the Western culture to what we now know as Southeast Alaska. We call it Tlingit Ani. And so the Katatawe Ayakwahegu Kuchitiye Awe Achin Kauduwanig. I was told by my grandparents and others that there isn't a thing on this earth that doesn't have spirit within it. This is the kind of teaching that we had. The fish had the spirit in it. The salmon, the halibut, the crab, the clams, the gumboots, the shrimp, everything of the sea had the spirit in it, and also the sea had the spirit in it. The seaweeds and all the various other types of plants that were in the sea, in the ocean, had the spirit in it. Even the little mud puddle had the spirit within it. And our people would say, for example, as I was coming in to KTOO, I was thinking about the rain that was hitting me in the face and the wind that was blowing real hard. And I was saying, Gunashisha, Gunashisha, thank you. And the reason I was saying that was the spirit of the wind and the spirit of the rain works with the salmon people, Khatkwani. Without all the rain, without the rain, there would be no rainforest here in Southeast Alaska. So we say Gunlachish, Gunlachish. We have things like, I said rainforest. The point for us, it's Asquani, the tree people. And we think about them in a way as if they were people, because it's a way in which we would interact with people. Would we treat people disrespectfully? Would we laugh at people? Would we hit people? Would we destroy people? The answer to that from the ones that taught me was no. We honor it. We respect it. We speak with it. Even with respect to some of the things like I was teaching in a class here recently, in a science class, and I was talking to the kids, and I said, I mentioned to the kids that the trees talk to each other. And I asked a lot of the kids, there were not just native kids there, there was a whole different number of different races in the room. And some said no, some said yes, some were just saying what they needed to say. But it was very, very interesting. A science teacher, after I made my presentation, that science teacher said, I want you young people to know that what Mr. Katsik has shared with you, we in the scientific world have documented that the trees communicate with one another. Not like the way we human beings communicate, but they communicate with each other. This comes from the spiritual aspect of our educational system. Our educational system included spirituality, the spirit in all things. And our songs have the spirit within it. Our stories have the spirit within it. When we look up at the mountain up here and we see the mountain right here on our left side from KTOO, which is called Mount Juno, the Tlingit name for that mountain is Yadda Atkasla. Yadda Atkasla. I don't know if you can feel the spirit that's within me speaking out here, saying this mountain is named the beautiful face of a mountain. And I thought about it one day when I was coming in on my boat. I had an 18, 20-foot rig coming in from deer hunting. The north wind was blowing, and it was coming down Lynn Canal area, and it was coming down Taku area, and it was coming down the channel here. And the tide was hitting really hard right around Point Arden. It was scary. It was really, really, was almost like the worst kind of amusement park ride you could be in a little boat, because all that needed to happen was a motor needed to die, and I would not be sitting here. But suddenly, I saw Cheech, Porpoise, coming right alongside my boat, going in front and going alongside, over big waves and things of that nature. And all of a sudden, I felt the spirit of the porpoise, and that the porpoise represents my grandfather, the one who taught me that everything has a spirit. I felt peace, calm, and serenity in the midst of a storm. I didn't have fear anymore, and I made it into the Harris Harbor. And the one guy came up behind me that took off from Doty's Cove area when I took off. He came up to me and he said, "What in the world were you thinking when you left? Did you know that I followed you?" He was in a 23-foot boat. So their spirit, the ocean, the waves have a spirit. And so this is the type of thing that I'm going to talk about. And then we also have a lot of memorial parties that take place and so forth. And I'll talk a little bit about that. And then I may mention a little bit about what people call shamanism and people call medicine men and other terms like witch doctors. I'm going to share a little bit about that. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but I want to just clear up some things that basically are misunderstandings by people who don't understand what we're talking about. So that...
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Wow, Jeff and I have been mesmerized as Mr. Kitzeek has been telling his story. So that's noon to one tomorrow. It sounds amazing. It's the Alaska Heritage in the conference room, I believe.
It's up in the fourth floor of the boardroom.
Yeah, the fourth floor of the boardroom. And that is part of the Alaska Heritage Institute participating in Native American Heritage Month, and all the lectures will focus on spirituality. And I want to thank you for coming and sharing that. That was terrific. So maybe we could get you back on the show and you could share some more if you were open to it. We'd really like that. So thank you so much for coming. We've been honored.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And one of the things that I will really focus on for me is the language, the words of our people, because there is a lot of spirituality in our language.
And it loses something when you just only speak in English. That makes sense of any ancient language. Thank you so much for coming in today. Thank you very much. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Sheesh.
This is Bird Note. The sun rising over a South Texas grassland finds a flock of sparrows, like these Cassin sparrows we're hearing, perching atop a mesquite bush. They're awaiting the sun's first warming rays. Suddenly, the sparrows flee as a dark bird of prey races toward them, flying just above the ground at breakneck speed. This time, the sparrows escape, and their pursuer, an aplomado falcon, alights to survey the landscape. It's a truly handsome bird, its plumage a bold pattern of black, white, and rust. Aplomado falcons were once widespread residents of the American Southwest, but by the 1950s, they'd disappeared entirely from the region. Loss of habitat, loss of prey, and pesticides all played a role. But in the 1980s, a group called the Peregrine Fund began breeding captive aplomado falcons. Over the next 25 years, 1,500 fledglings were set free in South Texas. At the same time, conservation pacts with private landowners provided more than 2 million acres of habitat. While work remains to ensure the bird's recovery, the handsome aplomado falcon appears to have regained a solid foothold in the American Southwest. Today's show brought to you by the Lufkin Family Foundation. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Hi, it's Lynn Rossetto Casper, host of The Splendid Table. Be sure to join me for our annual Thanksgiving tradition, Turkey Confidential. 2 hours of your calls and a lineup of guests, including Mario Batali, Ted Allen, and Alexander Guarnaschelli. That's Turkey Confidential, live on Thanksgiving from 8 p.m.
Thanksgiving morning at 10 on KTOO News Juno.
Hello there. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. It's raining and snowing and it's slick out there. Jeff and I were just mesmerized by David Kitzeek's talk. Sorry about that. He will be lecturing tomorrow at the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, part of Native American Heritage Month. And we'd like to get him back on the show to share more of his stories about his ancestors. He is a fountain of information. And our guest right now is Connor O'Day, and he is here from the Bridge Adult Daycare Center. Hey, Connor, how you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. So I pass the Bridge Adult Daycare Center when I'm on Egan. So can you tell me a little bit about the center?
Yeah. So we're Juno's Adult Day Program, and the population who we serve are seniors who are 60 years or older, who need or are looking for activities and daily living assistance and active social stimulation. And then a population of anyone who with Alzheimer's or related dementia.
Okay. All right. And so this is a day program. So I understand your hours are Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 5, and then Saturdays from 10 to 2:30. And is it something like you have to sign up for like a weekly or a monthly service?
So with the hours 7:30 to 5, I'm typically there from 8 to 4:30. I strongly encourage caregivers to stop by or to call and set up an appointment where they can see the program, get a sense, better sense of what we do. And the nice thing about it is that our first 3 days are free. And so those are our trial visits for us to get a sense of the individual who will be serving and also for them to get a sense of our program. And then from there, there is the paperwork to get actually signed up for the program.
Okay. And what's the ratio of your clients to staff?
So we actually have a really good ratio of 4-to-1 staff to participant ratio. So it really allows us to get to know each participant with their individual needs and how they prefer to spend their day and what they enjoy. So.
Right. And typically, what would a day look like? I mean, besides the meals, I assume you serve lunch.
So, yep, meals are delivered by the Senior Center kitchen each day. And then we range a broad range of activities throughout the day, focusing on physical and cognitive stimulation. So our mornings are spent with an exercise program, a physical activity, which includes something along the lines of beanbag toss or miniature golf. Bowling is one of the favorites. And then our lunch is 12-to-1. And then again, in the afternoon, we have a various group of volunteers in the town. So it could range from anything from a craft activity to music or to those physical games that I spoke about or cognitive reminiscing activities.
Right. And what's the maximum number of clients that you can take?
Maximum, we are looking at 15 per day. Right now, we're averaging about 10 per day. So we do have room in the program, and it's actually a nice time for someone to start the program because we're not at that overwhelming amount of people. When someone new comes in, it's a comfortable environment, and the staff will certainly have plenty of opportunity to get to know the individual.
Right. So in Juneau, you know, we're a small town, as we all know, but that's the only adult day care
that
program.
That is. That's correct.
So, but down south, is this a national trend that this is really kind of the standard of what to do with? Because I know social stimulation is really important for people of a certain age, or maybe all of us, actually.
Exactly. And adult day is becoming quite popular as we are seeing a rise in our senior populations across the country and trying to meet the demands of care. Assisted living facilities aren't popping up as quickly as they need to be, and so adult day right now is able to really fill in the gap for services because you do have quite a few seniors who are living with caregivers. We are serving the senior population, but we are working for the caregiver to also relieve that stress and to allow the caregiver to work or maintain the lifestyle that they need to maintain their health as
right,
well.
Right, to maintain everybody's health. So what is the contact information? Is there a phone number or a website?
So my contact is 463-6171, and through Catholic Community Services website, you can connect to my email.
Okay, sounds great. All right, so Conroe Day from the Bridge Adult Daycare Center, they have a few spots available. It's a good time to come and check it out anytime. Just give them a buzz or drop and see what the facility is and see if it's right for your family or loved one. So that sounds great. Thanks for dropping by today.
Thank you very much, Joan.
For many, the day after Thanksgiving is a day of cold turkey sandwiches, new commitments to get in shape, and, of course, shopping. At NPR and StoryCorps, it's also a day to set aside time to listen. I'm NPR Scott Simon, here to tell you about the National Day of Listening. This happens every year on Black Friday. It's an opportunity to sit down with your loved ones to record their stories. For more information, please visit nationaldayoflistening.org.
Hello, I'm Joan Pardis. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO News. Just to wrap up the show, a couple of things. First of all, Christy Chambora started the show, and she was talking about KTOO's auction. So there is a daily item that ends at 4. It's 3:56 right now. There's a rhubarb pie that's going to be delivered hot to the studio at 4 p.m. So I think you still have some time if you want to bid. That's KTOO.org. And then also StoryCorps, tune in for a special collection of local stories recorded in 2009 as part of KTOO's participation in the National StoryCorps Project, featuring lots of local people. That's Thursday at 6. And then tomorrow, there's another Juno Afternoon, as there is every day, Monday through Friday. Martha Moore is the host, and she'll be talking about the Church of Holy Trinity's annual Christmas Bazaar. Christy will be back here to talk about the KTOO auction and Ken Fix about this week's Planetarium show. And we'll also find out about the school district's AVID program tomorrow. So you know that if you miss a Juno Afternoon or any KTOO show, you could check it out on the web at ktoo.org and listen at your leisure. Thank you for joining us. I'll be back next week, and have yourself a great Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, and go check out the public market because Chef Steph is cooking up a storm. Okay, we're back. Still Juno Afternoon. It's the weather tonight. Snow and rain, diminishing late. Snow accumulation, 1 to 2 inches. Lows, 29 to 32. Southeast wind, 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Chance of rain, highs around 39. Tomorrow night, rain likely. Wednesday, rain. Wednesday night, rain likely. All the way through until Friday night, where it looks like snow likely. Lows around 26. Thanks for listening. Have a great day and drive safe. All Things Considered next.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K201 AM in Guthrie.